I want to talk about some races in the state of Colorado. I want to talk about one in particular. There is one of my classmates, Leadership Program of the Rockies, 2012, Mary Jo Tinlin, running in House District 33. Mary Jo, welcome to Grassroots Radio.
Thank you so much for having me again.
You know, it is good to have you back. I apologize for Friday. That was my bad. I forgot to tell Susan that I was going to have Mark Meckler on, and sorry about that.
All right, we'll talk right now.
All right, very good. So where is House District 33?
It is all of Broomfield, Superior, and the Boulder County side of Erie.
All right, very good. So you have decided to throw your hat into the race, and as of last week, you do not have a primary opponent, so it is just you, so you can gear up and go straight after this race, yes?
That's correct. Yeah, we're going to take on the incumbent, Diane Primavera, and we are going to win this time.
Yeah, and Diane Primavera really, really, really needs to be sent home. So I want to ask you this question. What is going to be, and let me rephrase this question. What's your platform?
My platform is that we have to get the government out of our lives, because we've spent the last two assembly sessions being told what we are going to do in our kitchens and in our bathrooms and all over our lives and in between us and our doctors, and that is just enough. We need to stop that, and that's what I want to try to do when I get elected.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, that's absolutely necessary. I mean, unfortunately for me, and fortunately for the rest of you out there listening, I do spend an awful lot of time down at the Capitol, and some of the crap that I see, Mary Jo, is just, I mean, you will scratch your head and you just can't help but wonder why. I mean, where are these people coming from?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, I think that we've gotten to that point where we have so many laws that now some of the laws that they're trying to make are just for the sake of making them, I'm afraid, and not really doing the intention that they may think that they're doing. And so, you know, I would really like to be the person to say, we don't need this one, we don't need this one, we don't need this one. Let's get rid of some of these. Let's streamline these. Let's be more efficient with what we do have. And also, again, just give our freedoms back, you know, freedoms for parents to choose the kinds of education they want for their children, and freedoms for small businesses to freely do their business and to not be so burdened by regulations and all the taxes and the Colorado business property tax and things like that that are just making business so hard to do in Colorado and certainly suppressing businesses from even wanting to come to Colorado. So let's get some of that stuff out of our lives, you know, next session and make it more efficient and better, a better place for Coloradans to live.
You know, the inventory tax and the small business property tax, those are crippling taxes that businesses have to endure in the state of Colorado, where they don't have them. I mean, we're in Denver. You go 80 miles north of Wyoming, they don't have any of that. None of it. And yet they have all of the infrastructure any business could ever want. And if we want to attract business to Colorado, we need to get out of their way.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, look at how many businesses decide to incorporate in Wyoming because it is so easy. I mean, why not, right? But why can't we be that? We are a beautiful place to live. It's an amazing state to raise your children in. But when we make it a bad place to come, you know, people are going to Texas. They're not coming here. You know, they used to come here from California. They're just skipping right over us and going straight to Texas now. Why would you come here?
Well, that's exactly right. Unless we make the environment attractive for all business, but our legislature really loves to pick and choose winners. They like to pick, oh, I don't know, the aviation industry. They like to pick, oh, I don't know, the hotel industry, and they do this TIF financing, you know, all this garbage. But they do it on a business-by-business basis. Instead of flat out lowering the bar in order to lowering the barriers to entry, I should say, mm-hmm. and making it a level playing field for everybody, they just can't seem to get their arms around that.
That's right. I mean, you know, when I was gearing up for the assembly, I talked to a lot of the delegates, who have small businesses, and they told me they frankly cannot expand their own businesses, and every year they have to decide what exactly their business practices are going to be, what kind of capital investments they're going to make in new equipment and things like that for their business, because they have these taxes that they have to think about. I mean, that right there is strangling the expansion of businesses, which in return strangles the expansion of jobs for people in this state, and therefore, you know, it definitely doesn't help our employment if businesses can't expand, and so then that hurts families. That hurts everyone in the state from top to bottom. It is not a friendly place to do business for us right now.
You know, it really isn't. It really isn't, and it's really sad that we have to worry about that kind of thing in the great state of Colorado. And then when you combine that with the mountains of regulations that the Democrats try to put on us, and I mean, think about this: they're trying to force people into vaccines. And fortunately, today they were able to gut part of that bill. But I mean, you've got bills coming down that are protectionist bills. They're licensing that one that we talked about yesterday with Rich Bratton. You've got medical equipment manufacturers that if you are not in the state of Colorado or within 50 miles of the state of Colorado and or have your own repair and support crew in Colorado for your $500 licensing fee, you cannot sell in Colorado.
Wow. That's, again,
I know, right? What else are you going to say? Wow.
Right. You know, what's the true intention of that? I just keep thinking about what we're really trying to do here. I mean, think about the bill that they killed last week, 175, that was truly a political bill to try to make the election. It was an election talking point. And now they decided it was so broad that they had to kill it. Their own party had to kill it. And I just, you know, those are the kinds of things we don't. Why are we spending Colorado taxpayers' time and dollars to do those kinds of things that are political talking points versus what we really need in the state?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because somewhere, somehow, somebody decided, and who knows, maybe it was Pat Stryker, maybe it wasn't, because her brother runs, I can't remember the name of the company, but it's a medical... Mm-hmm. It's a medical, they make medical products. That's what they mm-hmm. do. And I don't know, I don't even know if they're based in Colorado anymore or not. If I were them, I would have left a long time ago. But somewhere along the lines, somebody decided that they needed that kind of protectionism here. And the legislature said, okay, well, we'll float a law and protect your business. And that's what mm-hmm. happens when you get these rent seekers. Mm-hmm. And they will pay off, or they'll just convince some congressman, or mm-hmm. some assemblyman, I should say, float this bill, it's be good for us, and the Democrats will go lockstep and they will pass it.
Yeah, one of the feathers in the cap of the incumbent of this district, House District 33, is that John Hickenlooper has vetoed two bills in his entire time as the governor, and one of them was a bill she sponsored.
Which bill was that? Do you remember?
It was 1108. It was regulating fees for physical therapy and things like that for certain licensed
practitioners.
Practitioners, thank you.
Yeah, I do that a lot, so it's okay. Well, yeah, I mean, Diane Primavera is one of those that she owns the entire 2013 legislative session. She owns 1303, the voter fraud law. She owns all the gun laws because she voted for them, all the gun-grabbing laws. She owns this year 1164. She owns the sex ed bills. She owns Common Core. She owns that because she is part of the Democrat machine that is pounding that down our throat.
That's right, and that's the part that I want to try to get the word out to all of the voters in our district. But, you know, our district is a very evenly divided between the two parties, but we have a very large chunk, a 40% chunk of unaffiliated voters, and that's exactly the message that I'm hoping to get out to them, to show them, do you truly want these kinds of freedoms to be taken away from you by your own lawmakers and your legislators or not? Because if you don't, then you should vote for me. You should let me go down there and help give you your freedoms back. That's what I'm hoping to get the message out for the unaffiliateds and really for anyone. I mean, if you stop and think about it, I think there's Democrats that also don't agree with a lot of what you just listed.
Well, I know that there's not. I mean, the recalls are a prime example of that. I mean, we had John Morris, we had Angela Jaron, and then Evie Hudak, all three senators no longer sitting down at the Assembly right now as we speak because of the recall efforts. Well, that's because of overreach of government. I mean, it started with the gun-grabbing laws, yes, but at the end of the day, it's because the citizens of the state of Colorado, Democrats and independents alike, because we couldn't have won those recalls without them, they decided that the overreach of government was strangling them. Mary Jo, I'm going to ask that you hold through the break. When we come back, we'll have more.
This is Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560, The Source.
Most dealerships offer a standard 1-year, 12,000-mile warranty on repairs. Get your car fixed by a Colorado Select Auto Care Center, and they will triple that warranty. 3 years, 36,000 miles on every repair, which is roughly 1.5 trips around the planet. Now, maybe you're not planning a trip like that, but every time you get in your car, you should expect it to get you where you're going. Find the Colorado Select Auto Care Center nearest you at coloradoselect.org. Around the world and back, coloradoselect.org.
Wake up!
Wake up! Wake up!
The great equalizer to the liberal spin. Wake up with Randy Corporan.
Republicans are in the lead all around the country. Obamacare is a disaster. And we have the opportunity, maybe not as much in Colorado as we'd like, but around the country, to pick and choose and isolate those races that are going to put constitutional conservatives, libertarian-leaning Republicans, into office.
Wake up with Randy Corporan. Weekdays, 5 to 8 a.m. on KLZ 560, The Source.
Laura, tomorrow morning at 8 on KLZ 560, The Source.
If I were selling, let's say, my talk radio show,
Jason Lewis,
and everybody who listened to my talk radio show got a subsidy. And by the way, there's a legal mandate that you must listen to my talk radio show or you pay a fine. And there's a special provision for people who can't afford to listen. It's called the Meta Show, a la Medicaid, which means we'll give you even more money to listen. There wouldn't be a big surprise if I were to tell you more people were listening to the Jason Lewis show, would it? So if you can't get the percent of uninsured down with mandates, Medicaid, and subsidies, you never will. But the American people are still finding out, under the Affordable Care Act, the difference between health care and health insurance.
Jason Lewis, 7 to 10 weeknights on KLZ 560, The Source.
Hi, it's Dennis Miller inviting you to join me for an entertaining blend of politics and news of the day from my hopefully unique perspective. Plus, we'll have a red carpet list of celebrity guests who will grab and keep your attention. It's time well spent that you won't want back. It's that good. Listen for The Dennis Miller Show.
The Dennis Miller Show, weeknights at 10, right here on KLZ 560, The Source.
You're listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado on the Colorado Conservative, KLZ 560, The Source.
Welcome back, Grassroots Radio Colorado. This is your host, Ken Clark. Jason is taking care of business tonight, so he will not be in. If you would like to join me, 303-477-5600. I wanted to get back to House District 33, candidate who is running, one of my LPR classmates, Mary Jo Tinlin. Mary Jo, welcome back to Grassroots Radio.
Thank you so much.
And you did have, there was a primary that was starting to brew, right?
Yes, I did have a primary candidate. It was Dave Pigott who ran last time. We went into assembly, and I came out with the top line from the vote, but he decided that instead of creating division and spending our war chest fighting each other, that he would step aside and let me run this time. And so we have reunited, and we are supporting each other, and he has endorsed me as well. So I just wanted to say that thank you so much for that, and I'm so happy that we are able to come together and to fight this together so that we can get the seat back.
You know what? That was a classy move on Dave Pickett's part, and I applaud him for doing that. Thank you, Dave. That- that was a very, very good move. That was cool. Yeah. And you know what? It's not easy for somebody to do that. I mean, it really isn't. And for him to do it and to do it that graciously, my hat's off to him.
Very gracious, very gracious. It was a good way, and I think that he has an excellent future in politics in Colorado if he wants to in the future, for sure.
Oh, I would agree. I would agree wholeheartedly. All right, very good. So let's get back to your campaign. So let's say you do win the House, and you've got to take on Diane Primavera, who is arguably one of the most radical members of the House, because as you had said, Mary Jo, John Hickenlooper has only vetoed two bills. One of them was one of hers that was so radical, even our do-nothing, can't-commit-to-anything governor, this guy won't even commit to the red light camera ban. He won't even commit to that, and it's got bipartisan support all over the Senate. It's sailed through the Senate. It's now in the House now, and Hickenlooper can't even decide if he's going to ban red light cameras, the revenue generators. I mean, this is how wishy-washy this guy is, and yet he vetoed one of Diane Primavera's bills.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk. That says a lot.
Oh, I think that says it all. So let's talk about if you were in the assembly now, what would be some of the bills that you would consider running?
Well, that's an excellent question. Thank you. Well, I definitely want to see freedoms opened up for people, and specifically because this is such a big part of my life with education, because we do have children. I would love to see Common Core go away. I was so sad that bipartisan effort of the bipartisan mommies bill did not go through this year, to at least give it a step back for a year. Let's check it out. I was very sad to see that not go through. I would love to have that reconsidered, and I would absolutely work very hard to bring that one back up so that we can at least take a few minutes. I mean, so many states have decided, once they passed it, the 45 states that have passed Common Core have decided, hang on, you know, there's many that have decided, let's slow this down, let's make sure this is really right, let's make sure that we really are giving freedoms for not just parents and their children, but also for teachers, for their ability to teach to the capabilities of their classes, not to a central planning agenda in education. And I just think that we've got to really put that on the forefront for our kids, because the problem with Common Core in the future is that we then create a workforce that's based around that standardized education. And so that you know, not only does it take away freedoms for people, which is the fundamental principle that I am supporting there, is that but also it creates a downstream effect that I don't think a lot of people are thinking about.
Well, I would agree with that, and I think the education is getting out there, and I think those moms that put that together, you know, you realize that they were Democrats, they were independents, and they were Republicans.
All parties, that's right. I mean, and they just got the door shut right in their face.
And the Democrats shut them down. They shut down mm-hmm. their own constituents.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then during the long bill, I know that Senator Marble tried to defund it, so she kept trying. I mean, we still tried. So, you know, I would just really support anything that we can do to try to take a second look at standardizing this education, and again, creating more and more teach to the test versus freedom in education for everybody, not just parents and children, but teachers as well.
Oh, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. And I thought that was a brilliant move on Senator Marble's part, because she could not get that debate on the floor of the Senate, no matter how hard she tried, because the Democrats kept killing it. Mm-hmm. And so she brings up an amendment and forces the issue on the floor of the Senate, and made the Democrats, all of them, vote against it. Mm-hmm. And I thought mm-hmm. that was an absolutely brilliant, brilliant move. And she needs people like you down there helping her out. So what else would you do?
Well, you know, I mentioned it again before, is I would absolutely try to do something about the Colorado business property tax and open up these opportunities for companies, so that it's not just all these rules and regulations. I've heard that that one out of three jobs in this state requires some sort of certificate or registration or something in order to just do your job. And that seems like a huge barrier to entry for people. people, not, you know, if they're trying to change positions or change careers because of the climate of the economy. You know, there are so many things that hinder people from even just expanding their opportunities. Let's open that up. Let's see what we can do to make sure that people can do what they want to do or even have a job of any sort and also run their business without the pall of taxation over their heads at all times.
You realize that I've got a friend who owns a business, and I'm not going to mention the kind of business it's in, but it's in an industrial area. Mm-hmm. It's in an industrial area, and he built a new building, moved all of his equipment in, went to work, and cannot get a certificate of occupancy because of a dead bush.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. That's how bad this is. Because some little bureaucrat had to run down there, make sure all the windows were the right size, all the doors were the right size, everything was painted properly, blah, 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 blah. And then, mm-hmm. in order to justify his own existence, he has to go out there for a reason, right? So he has to find a violation. There was a dead bush, no CO.
Wow. You know, I heard one of the governor candidates speak yesterday at a luncheon I was attending, and he mentioned that in the last 4 years, we've gone from being ranked in the top two or four in terms of economic freedom and opportunity in our country down to number 22. In 4 short years, that's what we've done to the businesses and the employment and the workers of this state. And I just find that a hugely telling statistic to say we really are closing the door of opportunity for people to provide for their families in this state. And I just can't sit by and let that happen anymore. And I just really want to give people more opportunities. And that's what I'm going to do when I get down there.
Well, yeah. And I've talked about that a lot on Grassroots Radio, because that statistic, we are in a nosedive. Colorado right now is spiraling downward. We went from 6 to 22 in 4 years. Hmm. I mean, that's amazing. Well, there's a reason. And it's because of the agenda on the left, the Diane Primaveras of the world, that keep forcing all this crap upon business, and we can't grow. We can't do anything. I mean, it's absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what else would you do? That's two.
Yep. You know, the other thing that I worry about and that I hear a lot of concern about is, again, just this massive overreach of the government. You know, they can tell us now what bathroom fixtures we get to have. They can tell us what, you know, things we have in our kitchen and all these different, you know, just again, our freedoms. It's that basic principle that, you know, you were talking about before with the LPR. We learn about our principles, and that principle of individual freedom, that is the role of government. The proper role of government is to preserve our individual freedoms, right? That is what we have to do. And it just, every single year, we lose more and more and more of those. So I would just make it a mission, again, to sort of use that as the bellwether when I'm looking at a bill or when I'm trying to run a bill, is to say, does this create more individual freedom, or does it take it away from someone that's not the proper role of government? That's what I'm going to use as my marching orders as I try to do my job there.
Well, let me put you on the spot with this question. As far as the state of Colorado is concerned, because that's one thing that you can affect, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in just a second, but what is the proper role of government for the state of Colorado?
Mm-hmm. Well, at a state level, I think that it's, again, at the very fundamental level, you have freedom and I have freedom. And the government's role is only to make sure that neither of those freedoms infringe upon each other. And that's, there's a very fine line between there that the government can say, okay, I'm going to provide for public safety for firemen and for police officers. I'm going to provide for the public safety in roads and bridges and infrastructure so that we are able to, you know, address the demand of the population and also keep people safe when they're driving to and from places. You know, I just think it's a handful of things. That's what we do, you know, probably with the resources. We have to make sure that our natural resources and property rights, I mean, again, we just talk more and more about, you know, when we look at those things going on in Nevada and Wyoming and even in our own state with the EPA, those things, you know, private property leads straight into your individual rights, right? And so we've got to protect the people's private property as well. So those, I think, are very limited, but that's what I want to help preserve is a fundamental freedom for our Coloradans.
You know, yesterday I testified in a House hearing, and I testified on behalf of a resolution that Representative Sain had put forth that would make a call for a convention of states for the purpose of amending the proposing amendments to the Constitution. And it was absolutely amazing to sit there and watch, because this is what the federal Constitution via Article 5 has given to the states as a mechanism to rein in and restrain the federal government, because our founders were smart enough to understand and see that we were, in fact, going to run into a situation where we have now. We've got an out-of-control, tyrannical federal government. They knew that was coming, because inherently government is force, and all governments ultimately become this. So they gave us a way to change it. When I was sitting in that Senate committee hearing and I was giving my testimony, it was very interesting to see that the state representatives, some of them didn't even understand that their role was to, when possible and when presented with the option, rein in the federal government, because Colorado is a sovereign state.
Mm-hmm.
At least we're supposed to be. And some of them flat out couldn't understand that. And they voted against reining in the federal government via Article 5. Have you studied that issue at all?
I have looked at it. I absolutely agree that this is the pretty much our last path to try to do anything, right? Because our government is, they've gotten so big that they now have to, I don't know how to explain this, but it's just gotten so large that it's out of control, like you said. And so what is left for us to do? It's the Convention of the States, right? So I absolutely think that that would be a great thing to have it pass. And what, how many states are on it now?
Well, that's a tough question to answer. We've got two that have done the National Debt Relief Amendment. We've got, I think we're up to 16 or 17 that have the Convention of States Amendment passed, resolution passed. And then there are others that have done balanced budget amendments. Even the state of Colorado has a balanced budget amendment going back to a balanced budget resolution going back to the 70s. And so that's a very difficult question to ask. How many will aggregate together into one? I'm going to guess 18.
Mm-hmm.
So we're well on our way. Mary Jo mm-hmm. Tinlin, candidate, House District 33. Tell our listeners how they can help you.
Please, besides name recognition, I need you to talk about my name and that I am the Freedom Candidate, but also my website is Mary Jo Tinlin, my name, M-A-R-I-J-O, Tinlin, T-I-N-L-I-N.com. You can donate, you can volunteer, you can sign up for the email list, my Facebook page, Mary Jo Tinlin for Colorado. Please, both places, keep up on what's going on with the campaign and come help us out.
You got it, Mary Jo. We are going to be pushing very, very hard for your race. And so you are welcome back anytime. You just let me know.
Great. Thank you so much.
Grass.